My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Rodgers in the shotgun, Hall to his right on third and 16. Back to pass. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted! Taron Johnson, welcome back. A humongous interception by the nickel corner.
Bills radio, and that's the last we ever saw Mike Williams. Kidding. But maybe. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Aaron Rodgers saying post-game that Mike Williams did, in fact, run the wrong route. And that was a tough moment, Perloff, for Jets fans. I mean, the entire game was just brutal because of the amount of penalties that were called. It felt like the game lasted for 4 hours. I mean, you couldn't have a play without a penalty, offsetting penalties. Every part of this was just a slog. You could say gritty. I would say ugly on both sides. There were personal foul calls. It was undisciplined, sloppy. The officials were definitely trying to be part of the show. I mean, every way this could be annoying from an officiating standpoint, it was. But that doesn't negate the fact that Rodgers did have a chance at the end of the game, despite the fact that their kicker for the Jets missed two field goals that were crucial in the second half. He did have the ball with 3 minutes left. You're expecting Rodgers to go score there, aren't you?
No. I knew the officials were not going to let him. I mean, they scored the previous drive, and the officials took it away. They were watching.
A holding call.
They were watching that line closely. If there was any big play, there was going to be a flag.
Yeah, you mean the offensive line, not the money line.
Yeah, they were watching the offensive line really closely. I don't think there was any way the officials were letting them have a big play. It just wasn't going to happen. And I kind of view this game differently than you. We've been talking about it throughout the show. This felt like a bit of a sea change, like or a bit of a reckoning for the Jets. I feel like last night felt like the end of hope.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm not taking it that way.
Yeah.
But you see, this was the end. I mean, they should have won this game. It's not like they got blown out. Both teams scored 3 points in the second half. And I think it was on its way maybe to a blowout. But then Rodgers' Hail Mary at the end of the first half, I think almost like saved the game for them, maybe saved the season, even though they lost. I get it. They lost.
I don't think so. See, I come away from that game, Beale. If they don't fire their coach, they win that game by 10 points.
Wow, you think Saleh would have been the difference?
100%. I mean, did you see the opening drive of the game? The defense was so disorganized, and that's their calling card. It's like they had no idea what Joe Brady was going to call. I know the Bills coordinator has done a nice job, but he's not...
Yeah, he's not Kyle Shanahan.
All of a sudden, like the Jets got hit by a blindside Buffalo Bills running attack, a team that they see twice a year. It was bizarre. I think they missed Saleh. I think Ulbrich was way overmatched. I think it was very Jetsian. 2-4, like, I don't think it's a hot take. Like, this team's not making the playoffs. Like, this is another wasted Rodgers year, for sure. Because even if Rodgers plays as well as he did last night, look at all these foolish things they do. There's no way that they're going to overcome, like, the idiotic plays. There's no way, like, Greg Zuerlein, if they don't cut him today, they're stuck with him. He's going to cost them. Yeah. He's cost them 2 games already. He'll cost them 3 more games. Like, it's not happening this year.
Well, listen, they made the biggest, one of the biggest changes you can make, which is firing your head coach. Why wouldn't they cut the kicker? Why wouldn't they, you know, and I think, do you have to give the new head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, do you have to give him a chance to try to get his mark and leave his stamp on this team? Ironically, the defense looked a little worse last night, which is weird.
This was supposed to be the new coach bump. Jeff Saturday won in this position. Yeah. Like, the new coach bump, this was his best chance. The interim coaches just get worse and worse. It's, I mean, just the coaching change alone, that's another reason not to feel hopeful. I feel like it's, I think it's over. I mean, they have Jeff Ulbrich as their head coach, and they're 2-4.
I know.
Also, by the way, Aaron Rodgers taking massive hits all over the place. Can't move already. Feels like he's going to get hurt.
You know, there's just something, though, about the fact that, and I know this is going to sound like I'm making excuses for the Jets, but they've been in every one of these games. Like, they should have won. Maybe not the San Francisco game, but they should have. They had chances, and the irony of this is that it's been multiple times so far in this young season, Rodgers with the ball in his hand, where you're down by a score, or you need a field goal to tie it, or something like that, and something goes wrong, whether it's an interception last night. And let's be fair, Rodgers underthrew that ball too, whether Mike Williams ran the wrong route or not. Rodgers didn't, whether it's the Achilles or not the Achilles, he didn't put enough on that throw.
Actually, I don't even know what that throw was. There were Bills defenders all over that area too. If he'd put more air under that ball, you're
maybe
telling
could
have
me got a PI.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, the way the game was going last night.
Yeah, pass interference.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That felt like a bit of a arm punt slash Hail Mary kind of throw. If he had thrown it farther, it was Mike Williams running under it. Mike Williams, and also that turf. Regardless, I just think the Jets fired their coach. They have Jeff Ulbrich, who's never been a head coach. Like, why would you have hope for this year, team? I'm not sure what you're seeing.
Well, because Saleh was so bad, you know? And
I mean, last night, the Ulbrich was not good. I mean, I thought there were situational things. Like, for example, the Bills' last drive, everyone knew they were doing three run plays.
This is after the interception.
Yeah, the last
Bills
drive,
get the ball back with about
50.
A minute and a half left. Yeah.
All you have to do, you know the Bills are going to run the ball. All you have to do is stack the box and make sure they don't run. And they just ran right down their throat. And the Jets had no idea what was going on in the game.
Well, maybe they were watching the Bills tape from last week against the Texans, where the Bills inexplicably threw on all three downs in a similar situation, and they got roasted for it for a week. So thankfully, the Bills learned from that. But this was no beauty of a game. I mean, from the Bills side, from the Jets side, we talked about the penalties, 30 penalties in all, 22 accepted penalties, 6 penalties offset, 2 were declined. It was just ugly. And I guess this is where I think the Jets fans and, you know, EJ want to get your take on whether you think the season's done. As Perloff says, the season's over. You know, the idea that you got Rodgers, you're here, and he's the one who came in, and it's not us, Pearl. He was claiming he's going to change the culture. He's the one who knows how to win. He's the one who talks about cleaning up all the little stuff and getting rid of the BS and all that. And it's lip service, I guess, because he has not been able to come through in these big moments.
The sad thing about this Jets season is I think it's going to be like what's been recent Jets seasons, where they're kind of just going to hang around, and then blow it in the end, right? Because you look at their schedule. I mean, yes, going to Pittsburgh's night game, not the easiest, but I just saw a Cowboys team that lost by 40 points going to Pittsburgh and win.
That's true.
Pittsburgh just doesn't score a lot of points. So if you're talking about the Jets offense really improving, maybe only need 20 points to win. Then you go to the Patriots.
To get to 20, you need two or three field goals, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's not easy to kick in formerly Heinz Field either, but still.
Acrisure.
Yes, but I think the Jets are going to be 4-4. And that's what's so frustrating, because I just feel like I'm on the same ride that I've been on, regardless of who the quarterback's been. Again, with Aaron Rodgers, these close games, the Jets were losing with Zach Wilson. They were losing with Mike White. They were losing close games. We're like, man, the quarterback, just if he just could make a play here, like, we would win these games.
Yeah.
And then you watch the game last night, and Rodgers played a really good game. Probably the best game he's played all year.
I thought so.
And still, somehow, the result is the same. Where it's, and yes, you know, he had bad penalties and stuff, but throwing, the fact that they, 2 weeks in a row, the game ends with throwing a pick on a pass, an errant pass to Mike Williams. It's like a sick joke to Jets fans. It's like, am I in a twisted dream? Am I getting punked? How is this how the game ends again?
It's crazy. 855-212-4227. Pearl, if you think that there was no way the Jets were going to score with Aaron Rodgers with the ball, 3 minutes left to go because the officials were so bad in that game.
They were going to gut any big play. Especially if it was a touchdown. If there was a touchdown, the officials were like, no. There's no way we're giving the offense the glory here.
But here's the thing. I thought the officials were so bad on both sides, yeah. You couldn't even tell who they may have been biased against.
Yeah, but actually a holding call did gut that last drive.
Yeah, no, it did.
It was 3rd and 16. That's the thing. People are like, was that such a bad play? He was just like, listen, it's 3rd and 16. I got to try something here.
Well, it's 4-down territory, though, at that point, no?
Yeah, so try and gain 8, and then it's 4th and 8. That's not a high percentage play either.
But, I mean, you had Breece Hall right wide open underneath. And, I mean, I'm literally thinking, all right, we got to get about 8 to 10 yards here. And then Joe Buck, right before the play, says, oh, I think maybe it was Aikman. Like, you're thinking you're probably got to get about 8 yards. So, like, everyone in the stadium knew you're going to have to cut this in half because you're going to probably have to go for it on 4th down. And Rodgers is throwing a Hail Mary to Mike Williams, who
trying
can't
to get
jump, can't run anymore. Like, and I get it, but
Mike but he Williams did underthrow him.
Yeah, Mike Williams doesn't know the offense. Like, but I mean, even if all that goes right, Mike Williams doesn't run the right route. Like, why are you trusting such an important play on a guy who just isn't ready to play right now?
I don't know why Mike Williams is out there. And I have no idea. But here's the thing. It's Jets. The Jets are finding the banana peel. Like, why would you have faith that they're not going to? I mean, Bill Belichick was right. Like, Woody Johnson has screwed this thing up.
Yeah, but you think Aaron Rodgers could help change things. I know, yeah. Pipe dream. Obviously, he's one guy. He's a 40-year-old quarterback, and he's not mobile.
I'm already starting to think about if, I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe Rodgers goes somewhere else next year if this keeps on devolving.
I think he wants to play next year.
Yeah, oh, he definitely wants. He wants to have he's not healthy this year. I think he wants to have a real year. Like, can he follow Brett Favre's trajectory and get out of Jets land?
Honestly, if he ends up going to the Vikings, which is something Pearl's been talking about for no fewer than five years, I'll just bow down to you.
They drafted.
Right, they have J.J. McCarthy.
Cool. Yeah, I'm actually looking at some teams. Titans with all those high-paid receivers, Saints.
You're already looking at Rodgers' next team.
Yeah.
We're not even halfway through the season yet.
I don't know. I feel like the Jets' loss last night is symbolic to me. Like, this is, you can't hit a 32-yard field goal. Like, I mean, Rodgers is going to look around at one point and say, what am I doing here?
Yeah, Troy Aikman was not very kind to Greg Zuerlein. It was funny because isn't he a former Cowboys kicker? But I think he kicked everywhere. But he's like, yeah, I know the win, but that's a 32-yarder. You got to make that. It was an adventure in the kicking game. Tyler Bass was terrible, too. Ramon is in Indianapolis. Good morning, Ramon.
Good morning, my favorite sports morning crew. I'm with the Jets being done. Did you hear Aikman at the end of the game? Aikman said he don't think they got a way out. He was very stern about it, and he said, and actually, I thought he was a little nice on that last play. Aaron Rodgers did underthrow him. You should cut 16 into half. Because then that gives, and then if you hurry up, the defense doesn't have time to respond. You may have a fortunate to get that 4th down play. But I'm just happy that he's falling down. He's such an arrogant player. You know, LeBron James gets so much hate for a guy who's done nothing, don't even have a speeding ticket. He has never said he had mushrooms. He definitely hasn't talked any negative about his own teammates. They asked him about his son yesterday. They say, go ask my son. You know, he's grown. But yet you throw Mike Williams under the bus, well, he ran the wrong route. No, a leader doesn't do that. A leader doesn't do that. So I'm glad he's falling on his face, but you're right. There's no way in the world they have 20. How many penalties they have? 12, 13, 14?
11.
There's no way in the world with Salah they have all those penalties. They were undisciplined.
They did last week. That was part of the reason why Salah got.
They did ask? Oh, okay. Well, you know, correct me then. There's something internally wrong then to continue to have all those penalties and be that undisciplined on defense and offense. In 54, I'm telling you, I would garnish his paycheck. That last 5 minutes, he had some penalties that really cost him. He acted like he didn't really care. So Aaron Rodgers is not the leader that everybody wants to compare him to be with Tom Brady. He's not. And I don't see him being on nobody else's team because who wants the headache? Look how well Green Bay is doing now since they've gotten rid of him. And thanks for taking my call.
Ramon, you make a lot of good points there. Thank you for making the phone call. It's always great to hear from you. I will agree with Ramon on this. The Jets have been a very penalized team, but I'll agree with him on this. He shouldn't have thrown Mike Williams under the bus. That's true. And secondly, and I know this is far down the list of issues with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, his body language is god awful. I mean, the sulking, the pouting, the throwing the arms up, not to the officials saying looking for a flag. That's fine. About teammates, it's like he is always, I don't know, his face, the disappointment is just dripping down his face.
Do you know where he plays, right?
Yeah.
He's in New York.
He chose that.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, he might not have understood what it was like to be on the Jets until he actually got there. To be fair, like, I don't think most people understand. I think it can't get worse. Go to the Titans. go
That's
anywhere.
No picnic.
I'm telling you, there is nothing. There is something about this franchise that, and there's a lot of history here.
Yeah.
That is flawed. And I think that I can understand Rodgers' frustration, but he actually played well last night, and the rest of the team, the rest of the team let him down. The officials kind of gutted everything, and they probably would have won if they didn't call that holding. They went up 27-20 on that run. They had a 6-yard run that
take it back.
They probably would have won the game.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, I understand Rodgers' frustration. It feels very Jetsian to me.
And the Javon Kinlaw is 54, right? That's what he's talking about. Yeah. So Kinlaw was penalized at the end of the game. You cannot get penalized for jawing at an official. And by the way, the official, you cannot throw that flag. You have a referee group that is on a historic pace of throwing flags. You have to let that go. And I don't know what he said to the guy, but it doesn't matter. He wasn't up in his face. Yeah. He wasn't pointing at him. He wasn't challenging him. He walked by him and said something. As a referee, do the right thing there and let that go.
Well, luckily, it had no impact because it just pushed the kickoff off and they kicked out of the end zone anyway. And also the penalty before Kinlaw had no impact. It was,
it was offsides.
It was 4th and 6. It was offsides.
Which it took like a year to figure out.
I know.
Right. So then they just moved up to 4th and 3 and they kicked the field goal anyway. So it made no, actually, luckily for Kinlaw, neither of those plays made impact. The one that did make an impact was the roughing the passer on Josh Allen. And that was a tough call. I thought Aikman called that one out as another bad call.
Both the roughing the passers were silly. Even Aaron Rodgers said that was not roughing the passer. The one on him, the penalty he drew, he said was not roughing the passer. It was AJ Epenesa. It's not the Matrix. You can't just like pause on top of somebody and rotate 360 degrees and get out. They even said he was trying to go for the ball. What did they call it? A secondary?
So he drove him into the ground and landed on his full body weight. That's what they were saying. It's ridiculous.
It's
totally ridiculous because, again, he's making the football play. You're 100% right about him trying to strip the ball out. It was a great play, great attempt.
See, I think
he got penalized for it. It's crazy.
I get that one a little more because he did land full body weight on him. He didn't, you're supposed to move your body somehow miraculously like a gymnast off the quarterback.
I know.
I thought the one on Allen was really bad because Allen never goes down. Like, if you don't hit Allen, like, Allen takes such advantage of the rules, knowing that everyone's afraid to hit anybody. That I feel like Josh Allen, this maybe it's unfair. Like, I don't think there should be roughing the passer against Josh Allen because he'll have three guys hit him as hard as they can and just shrug them off and throw the ball 50 yards downfield.
Yeah, but
so how do you rough a guy who's stronger than you?
I think when you go up top, it's roughing the passer on anybody.
But Kinlaw didn't get on top. It was just late.
Yeah, I didn't think that was worth a roughing the
passer. Does anyone get up top on Allen? Not.
That's generally how he gets those calls. And he does. He's usually good for one a game.
He sells them.
I always thought Haley Steinfeld is his girlfriend. She's a famous actress. I always thought maybe she was giving him tips how to sell the call, acting.
Well, he carries. I mean, he never throws the ball. He has the ball in his hands so many times.
And how about last night? Not a typical Josh Allen game in terms of did not run. 9 carries, 18 yards. Now, on the maybe most important play, which is 3rd and 4, I don't know how the Jets thought anyone else was going to be taking that ball for the first down to ice the game.
That says something about you mean he did not run successfully. You're like, 9 carries is a lot for a quarterback.
No, but he didn't. It wasn't like part of the game plan as it usually is. When
but
it's
he
like
didn't.
3rd and 8 and stuff, and he's always running.
His scrambling killed the Jets. Literally.
He keeps him alive. Well, he's Houdini.
Yeah, he had that gigantic. Yeah.
Vertical running. Like, yeah, no, for first downs.
Right. He had no success running, but still, that's a lot of hits on a quarterback. On a normal quarterback, that's way too many. Usually it causes a lot of problems when your quarterback.
Oh, I know. I thought he was being disciplined last night.
I mean, he did. I mean, obviously he had that fumble.
So silly.
They were, the Jets were slow to fumbles, too. Like, felt like they did not seem to have the go-to ball want that the Bills did. The Bills felt like the hungrier team.
Did you feel like the Bills were the hungrier team?
Yes. And I thought Sean McDermott, and this is why this loss hurt so much, because he kind of said in the postgame, he's like, our goal was to show from the jump that we were going to be the more physical team, and we were going to do it by running the football. And it just, that's what they did. Like, they just showed, the Bills should have had, and there was some desperation because you don't want to lose three in a row all on the road, but the Jets should have been the absolute desperate team.
Yeah.
And I feel like Quinnen Williams was missing. Sauce Gardner didn't want to tackle anybody. I thought DJ Reed actually had a really good first half. Second half wasn't great, and then he got hurt. Just nobody on that defense wanted to step up, and that was disappointing considering this is a quote-unquote great defense.
Right, with the Bills, Taylor Rapp stepped up in a big way.
He was awesome. I feel like the Bills were just throwing their bodies all over the place. Like, they might have the most quote-unquote talented guys, but, like, Rapp is throwing his body out there. Damar Hamlin, this guy almost died hitting those collisions that he had with Breece Hall last night. He was throwing his body in there. Who were the Jets that were doing that last night? I don't know if anybody on the defense was playing like that.
So Rapp had a concussion and then is wearing the Guardian cap, and I wonder if that maybe gives you a sense of security.
I don't get.
He was in there.
Why are more people not wearing that thing?
It didn't seem like it bothers him. It doesn't make him any slower.
What's the difference? Yeah, I think that thing should be more popular because concussions are playing havoc right now. There are a lot of players who are concussed.
They look like those big hats like the ones we have in the studio here.
Yeah.
You look a little like a mushroom head, but if it works, it's worth it.
How many key players are in the protocol this week? I know Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Chris Olave, his career is on a lifeline right now.
Well, Tua's coming back next week. Yeah. Not this week, next week. We talked about that.
Patrick Surtain, by the way, is having real problems with concussion. That's another guy who needs a guardian cap. I like that guardian cap. Watching Rapp play last night should be a message to the rest of the NFL. You're right. He looked great, and he didn't look like he was more hurt or anything.
He didn't look a step slow.
I thought Garrett Wilson, but that was a, was that a, did I miss something? Like, he was clearly concussed after he got hit in the
head.
He got hit the chest.
Yeah.
I thought he was concussed too. And I think he just knocked the wind out of him. I was like, is he going to get up?
Okay,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
That was a wind knocked out situation. Gotcha.
The other guy, Ruckert, the tight end. So the play before Rodgers throws the interception, he's in the middle of the field. And he just dropped the ball because he got hit so hard.
That was a great pass by Rodgers.
Yeah.
That was a killer pass.
There
is only maybe two guys who can throw that pass. If it was a better tight end, he obviously would have caught it.
855-212-4227. Two poll questions out there for you on X at Maggie and Pearl. Will the Jets make the playoffs? No is a heavy favorite right now. You can go vote. And who do you blame for the Jets' loss last night? Right now, penalties leading the way with 50%, Aaron Rodgers at 30%, the Jets' defense at 20%. So you can go there, you can vote. 855-212-4227 coming up. One quarterback gets a vote of confidence by his head coach. We'll get to that. Maggie and Perloff.
Oh, yeah. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
By the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. That is, of course, one of Maggie's karaoke bangers, Africa by Toto. Defensive Player of the Week. Now, I've been thinking about this for a long time now, the last 2 minutes.
Okay.
The big college game, Ohio State, Oregon, was more of an offensive shootout. I don't think you can pick a defensive player out of that. So baseball, not so much. I think you're going NFL. DJ picks the defensive player of the week every week. I think he's going NFL, and I think he is going to go, wow, Detroit Lions, because they shut out the Cowboys, even with the Hutchinson injury. Elaine McNeil, who destroyed the Cowboys single-handedly.
Okay, Maggie, what's your...
Would you get cute and try to give a little tip of the cap to Dan Lanning? It's not the player necessarily, but the defensive play of the game was the brilliant move to put 12 men on the field with Lanning confirmed in so many words yesterday to try to draw a 5-yard penalty that bled the clock off of like 5 precious seconds. Would EJ have done that?
I feel so bad because, Pearl, you were so close.
Yes, I know who it is.
Oh, Kirby Joseph.
Right, Brian Branch. The defensive player of the week this week is Brian Branch.
Oh, yeah, I love Brian Branch.
Who had 2 interceptions and a forced fumble in the Lions blowout win over the Dallas Cowboys. McNeil was also great, and he was in my top 3. I actually almost went Tyler Rapp just because how much he was just throwing his body all over the place. But Branch was an absolute superstar on Sunday, so he definitely deserved defensive player of the week.
It's funny. I'm looking around the NFL scoreboard. There wasn't really a lot of great defensive standouts
this week.
Yeah, there were. You didn't get a lot of sack games. I feel like there's some teams that are so bad, like you don't even deserve defensive player of the week for shutting out the Broncos. I mean, they're so awful right now.
Speaking of teams that are awful, we'll get to Andrew Bogish in just 1 second. But yesterday, Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, did give Deshaun Watson a vote of confidence. Let's hear cut 20, please, Nick. He said Watson gives the Browns the best chance.
I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win. Continues to give us the best chance to win, and we need to play really good offensive football at his position and really at every position to be successful on Sunday.
Sure. I know Jameis Winston is now a career backup, but I'm insulted if I'm Winston hearing that, because there's no shot that Deshaun Watson is giving you the best chance to win. This all feels like it's coming from the top down, but Stefanski saying that the depth chart decisions, Perloff, are his and his alone.
We have a good dialogue with myself, Andrew, ownership about all things that have to do with this team. They've been nothing but supportive, and any decision when it comes to football is my decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the problem. The team around him looks terrible. Deshaun Watson, that is. I don't think the receivers run hard for Deshaun Watson, so they look awful too.
Yeah.
The offensive line definitely can't block. And the big problem is there's such a push up the middle on every play. Deshaun really can't step into throws. I know the announcer said, oh, he could have stepped into that one. But then you see he just got pummeled 1 second after he threw it. This everything around them is a mess too. So I believe a lot the system affects quarterback. I think the system is broken here in Cleveland. Honestly, maybe they'll all play harder for Jameis, but this is not, you could blame Deshaun Watson all you want. Like, that is an excuse. This team stinks.
Yeah, how are they basically, the same team was a playoff team last year?
I don't know. I think they don't play hard around Deshaun. I mean, the two tackle injuries are obviously hurt.
Yeah, but they've gotten some of those guys back on the offensive line, and it's still bad.
I think there's a lot of subs on the offensive line until Amari Cooper's he's such a slacker.
Well, we should have known. Remember when Amari Cooper was in the trade rumors to the 49ers? And it was like, oh my gosh, yes. Like,
also, you got to remember, too. They traded for Jerry Jeudy in the offseason. Jerry Jeudy can make any offense in the NFL worse just by his. And Njoku, their one reliable target, finally is back on the field, looks awesome, and they never throw it to him. And that's on Stefanski or Watson. Maybe Watson's missing, guys. I just think the whole thing is broken. Obviously, they were down in their third string running back because Jerome Ford walked off about a minute into the game. This is bad. It's bad all around there.
Yeah, I get it. But third string running back is like, if there's any place to be down to your third string, that's probably the place you want.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, there's nobody else around. Like, there's nothing. I don't know where you look for the Cleveland Browns. Maybe, what is Jameis going to do?
I don't know. What'd you say?
Try.
Deshaun's try, by the way. Deshaun didn't miss a pass in the second half. He got hot at the end and actually made the Browns back.
I'm sure he did, but I mean, he shouldn't be out there anymore. He's not the only problem, but he might be their worst problem. And it can't be any worse with Jameis, so why not try it?
I think the problem is, A, the investment into Jameis, into Deshaun. It's going to be hard to bench him because it's like, oh, we moved heaven and earth to get this guy. We've got to stay with him. And then I wonder if they think, how could we go back to Deshaun? Is there any way, do you go to Jameis and then Deshaun's just gone from the team, or you go back to him next season? Like, how do you manage that?
No, I mean, I guess if Jameis is equally terrible, then you have to have the conversation of going back to him. But, like, I saw people talking about this the other day on Sunday. Like, there are guys like Myles Garrett who are playing through injuries or playing in pain, and you're not putting the best people on the field for them. Like, what are they doing this for? If the front office is refusing to let you bench Deshaun Watson because of contract, what does that say to the other guys who are trying to win games for you?
Yeah, they'd probably
say, he's cooked. I mean, he's just done.
That's what the money's for. Bogish has headlines for us. That's with a little what's going on with the Browns.
The Jets were better in some ways last night, but no real boost from firing head coach Robert Saleh last week. More red zone struggles, more penalties, more losing. 23-20 to the Bills in Jersey on Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers' team has lost three straight by 10 total points.
I'm here to win those games, but we got to be on our details. You know, it's little things every single time.
The Jets scored once on four red zone trips, including two missed field goals from Greg Zuerlein. They committed 11 penalties for 110 yards. The Bills also call for 11, totaling 94 yards. Josh Allen, just 215 yards passing, but two touchdowns, a Tyler Bass field goal with 3:43 left, and a Taron Johnson INT sealed Buffalo's fourth win of the season. They are now a game and a half clear atop the AFC East. You guys have already mentioned these notes this morning. Lions expect Aiden Hutchinson to need 4 to 6 months to recover from his broken left leg. That basically means he's done for the season, but Dan Campbell is not ruling him out yet. And Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said yesterday they expect Tua to play again this season, but don't know when. Their QB can come off IR starting next week. Giancarlo Stanton does have his regular season issues, but the postseason's different.
Now the 0-1 is hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. Oh, it is gone. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo. Non si può scaparlo. Stanton, who is a terrific postseason player, bangs out another one, and the Yankees have a 5-1 lead.
And then a 5-2
You're good at
it. To win.
Yeah, really good.
Over the Guardians to start the ALCS. John Sterling, of course, had the call on Yankee Radio. 13th postseason homer in just 32 games as a Yankee for Stanton.
Bogish, you haven't mentioned who was in attendance last night.
I thought
Yankees Guardians.
Surprised you didn't lead with it. You hateful.
Spike Lee.
Yes, yeah, Spike Lee was there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
He'll go to the opening of an
Who's the other Yankee?
My friend Dylan
Michael
Butler,
Imperioli?
The voice of Long Island High School Sports, was there. I'm not sure that's who Maggie was referencing.
John Fanta was there.
Oh, good for him. Okay.
Fox Sports.
Sure.
Was
I don't
Jimmy
know.
Fallon there? Was other Yankee fans? No, guys. Taylor and Travis were there on a date.
And some people think they saw an engagement ring.
What?
Oh, I didn't see that part
yes.
of the story.
She's wearing some kind of fancy... tall is not the right word, but something
large
going up off her finger on the finger on her left ring finger.
Okay, so here's the thing about that. There has been absolutely nothing subtle about this relationship. They have hidden nothing from us.
Except when it started.
Okay. Why would they hide the biggest thing that everyone's been waiting for?
Because it's none of your business.
They make it my business. Who goes on a first date, or not a first date, mid-season date to a baseball game like this?
Sports fans.
I get it too. Travis Kelce's from Cleveland. He wants to see the Guardians. I got a lot of people in my mentions who are disappointed that it's a game week and he was in New York at a baseball game with Taylor. I mean, Tuesday's generally a day off for most veterans, especially, yeah. And they have a game against the 49ers coming up this week.
I'm looking at this picture. It looks like a ring on the middle finger. This doesn't look like an engagement.
I can't even find the picture.
Listen, TikTok doesn't lie, EJ. I saw more than one video this morning, like, oh my God, that's a ring. Oh my God, that's a ring. And I trust, you know, Elizabeth 56424999 on TikTok.
An army of 20-something women who are just, for some reason, very much feel a part of this relationship, even though they're not.
But yeah, I guess he's got a, there's no way they're off again today. So, I mean, they are off today. So he's flying back today.
That's
in time for practice
thinking.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
I bet you. So they were coming off a bye, right?
Yep.
So they probably get, their first practice is probably Wednesday.
I just forgot what day it was.
Where do they play this week? Are they on the road or home?
San Francisco, I think. In San Francisco.
Ooh, yeah. That's a lot of travel.
Well, I mean, he's a famous person. Their whole lives are travel. He's an athlete.
Yeah, but that's ideally he's a football player before being a famous person. I kind of get that.
I mean, does he deserve the benefit of the doubt? I mean,
have you paid attention this year?
No.
Like 90% of the talk about Travis Kelce is how he's out of shape and famous.
Well, he does have three Super Bowls, and I kind of trust that they're going to get things going when they need him.
All right, they are 5-0.
Yeah, they're 5-0.
Yeah. And wasn't his last game his best game?
Yes.
It was, right?
Yeah.
At least numbers wise.
I'm just convinced that nothing the Chiefs can do will stop them from winning again. Yeah. I've been beaten down too much.
I think Kelce's a little peeved that he doesn't have a touchdown yet. You could tell because he said something to Jason about that, how disappointed he is he has gotten in the end zone.
Yeah, by the way, Jason, fraud. Just get off our bandwagon. You're not a Bills fan, dude. Stop. Again, with the Bills' costumes last night and drinking out of the bowling balls and stuff, I loathe this part of him. And generally, I like the guy. This bothers me to no end.
Well, do you really generally like the guy? I feel like you bash him a lot on the show.
I've said he's a little overexposed.
He was also a Jets fan last night, too.
I know. He had the Bills, like,
Yeah. But I also
costume.
Saw he was doing some Jets things earlier in the day in the parking lot. Like,
he had a buffalo chicken wing necklace on. Just, like, get out of our stuff, you know? You're an Eagle legend, and your brother plays for one of the team's biggest rivals. Just, you're worse than Perloff. You need another bandwagon to jump onto? Stop it.
Worse than Perloff.
But you really like this guy, though.
I respect his playing career. And if he wants to suit up for the Bills somehow, he's welcome with open arms. But
he's wearing he was wearing a Klecko jersey for a big part of the night, too.
Yeah,
he's on every
bandwagon.
This guy
can't be stopped.
He's everybody's
madness.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be with everybody, that's okay, right? No. You're not on a bandwagon if you're doing a shtick where every city you go to, you're going to wear the team's jersey.
Especially leaning into the Bills stuff. Just get
off
our tailgates.
The guy is a face painter for the Chiefs.
That's what I'm saying. You're a Chiefs guy. Stay with the Chiefs. Chiefs you have. Your brother is an all-time great for that franchise. You can be on the Chiefs bandwagon. The Bills? Come on.
Maggie, I think he's doing this.
Who are you rooting for next, Russia?
I think he's doing this.
All of our rivals. Come on, dude.
He's doing this bit everywhere.
It feels like Buffalo is especially. He wants the love from the Buffalo fans.
This goes back to him climbing out of the window, bare chested and whatever in Buffalo.
He was tailgating with everyone in the parking lot. And then he's, it's not about you, dude. It's a playoff game.
I just wish he wouldn't just steal Pat McAfee's whole bit. That's the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Pat McAfee's doing this on game day, and I feel like he's copied his whole flow.
And who's Pat McAfee copying it from? Wrestling.
Yeah.
WWE. He's taken everything from that. So
McAfee throws in a little bar stool. He's got a lot of things going on.
A lot of
he stole a little Dan Patrick show with his show.
I feel like
McAfee's also great.
He's excellent at what
he does. I feel like if Jason was doing this, I think doing this for pro teams is hard. I think that's why I think pro teams we're almost a little more protective of. Like I always say, Perloff's welcome in the Miami bandwagon whenever he wants, even though he for some reason wants them to lose every week. Like I think when it's your pro team, you're even more like, get off my lawn. I don't want anything to do with you. I've suffered too long.
Yes.
College, I think we're all having a fun time. I think we all know they're kids at the end of the day, even though they're making money now and they were before. It's something different about the energy.
Agreed.
I think that's the problem with Kelsey's gimmick right now.
I'm just jealous. Do you guys have things to be mad at him for? What would he do to the Giants that I would be angry about?
Well, he already beat territory your team's butt a decade.
I mean, we don't have territory to infringe upon. If he was ever working a Giants game.
You know, isn't he an assistant coach with the Eagles, too? Whatever happened to that story?
I think he's like I thought he was like a consultant or something.
Is he in the building every day working with O-line? Isn't that what he said?
I thought that's what they said.
That's what they said. We did that story.
Yeah.
And by the way, your guy Cam Jurgens, he had a bad snap, but he's playing very well, they say. Almost at a Pro Bowl level already.
Told you he'd be important.
Yeah, but you meant it in a negative way.
Well, I watched that game in Brazil. And the other game.
Francisco Lindor, a home run. Mark Vientos, a grand slam. Edwin Diaz, a four-out save. The Mets get even in game two of the NLCS, 7-3 at Dodger Stadium. In hockey last night, the Avalanche took a 6-2 home loss from the Islanders. They're 0-3. The Penguins won in Montreal, 6-3. Evgeny Malkin, a goal and two assists. Guys, back to you.
What season sneaks up on you more, hockey or college basketball?
Well, I know when March is. we all know. Hey, the Super Bowl is over. Let's watch a Kentucky game and pretend we know what we're talking about in 3 weeks.
855-212-4227. Thank you so much, Bogish. Coming up on Tuesdays, we do the NFL rookie power rankings. We'll do that next. Don't move, Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. All right, we do this every Tuesday once full NFL week is in the books. 5-1, Perloff, your rookie power rankings. Go ahead, give them to us.
Okay, I know we're going to disagree on this one, but I have Spencer Rattler at number 5 just because I have a very low bar for a rookie quarterback.
if we're only doing quarters 1, 2, and a part of 3.
Dude, the guy's got a cannon, though. Can we at least talk about that? I don't know if we've heard, is he starting on Thursday? He's going to be playing with basically a practice squad out there against the Broncos, who are also a practice squad. I love him. So I'll go Spencer Rattler. I'm sticking with, now, is this last week's performance or cumulative? I'm going cumulative. I still like Brian Thomas Jr. of the Jags.
Oh, he was not good in London, though.
But I still like him. He's still, actually.
He didn't hit in the numbers and dropped a ball, dropped a couple passes, no?
Did he have one big catch for them in the fourth quarter in the garbage time? But I'm going, again, cumulative. I think he still leads the rookies for receiving yards. Okay, my number 3, Drake May, baller.
I was wondering about that.
Number 2, even in a losing effort, Jaden Daniels was really good. The Ravens afterwards said that we love this guy. And number 1, I'm moving him up to number 1. I don't know if it's a season-long thing, but Caleb.
Wow. I wasn't sure if you'd put Caleb number 1. Caleb looked great.
Caleb had great numbers.
He had great numbers. It's just that Jags defense might be terrible. There you go. All right, that's Perloff's rookie power rankings. Let me give you mine. 5th on the list, I'm going to go with Evan Williams. You heard about this guy? The safety for the Green Bay Packers has been awesome. So one of the best rookies in the league, and I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from him. 4 on my list, Perloff, I didn't realize this until I saw the stats. For your Philadelphia Eagles, can I give it to the combination of Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean? According to the score, they allowed 2 receptions for 24 yards against the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I know. Still, rookie tandem back there.
Wait, just wait.
Well, I'm just doing this based on last week.
Just wait. Just wait until Cooper DeJean gets caught one-on-one with a receiver. That's going to be lights out. Quinyon Mitchell's pretty good. He got robbed of an interception because he ran into Gardner Johnson.
And yeah, Quinyon Mitchell is going to have to is playing a lot more because of the Darius Slay injury, right?
Yeah, I honestly think the Eagles secondary is god-awful.
I mean, I don't know. You might be right, but I'm going off of just this week. So Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean together as a tandem, number four on my list. Number three, I cannot quit Bucky Irving. I don't know. He's the best. Oh, yeah. I love watching this guy run for the Tampa Bay Bucks. What?
I mean, New Orleans defense was so bad.
I'm looking at a guy
he's great.
That was a close-ish game until finally the Bucks pulled away in the fourth quarter. Two on my list is going to be Caleb Williams because the opponent he was facing. So that's why I'm putting him two.
You just had Bucky Irving.
Yeah, but
they scored 51 points. The Saints rolled over.
But it was actually a game until the fourth quarter, and then he's just great. And number one on my list, I'm still keeping Jaden Daniels there because I know the Ravens defense is not good, but they're definitely better than the Jags. So even in a losing effort, I will put Jaden Daniels as number one. There you go. It's our rookie power rankings. I didn't put Drake May in mine. I did like the touchdown pass, obviously, was dynamite.
I had that stat yesterday. He's the first guy to throw three TDs and lead his team in rushing in his first game in 60 years or something. Again, I think that's a matter of where you put the bar for Drake May. He's got an awful team around him. So just the fact that he looked competent, you got to give him a lot of credit for that. I think he looked better than Jacoby Brissett, who's been in the league forever. So I think if you're a Patriots fan, you have to be very happy about that game.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't perfect by any stretch, but I just don't think he should be out there. I mean, you and I have talked about this a lot, just because I wouldn't want to risk him getting hurt his rookie season, and then he's not developing in the offseason, he's rehabbing in the offseason, and you're not playing for anything this year.
Well, right, but then again, then you could run into the same issue. Is he going to be so ready to go next year that he's not going to be an injury risk? This is a long project. I think he'll be better. I think he'll be used to this thing. I think maybe, hey, this gives you a chance. You didn't want to go into year two of Drake May never playing a snap with that team around him. I think it was now. I mean, you're saying even in week nine you wouldn't put him in?
Well, I don't know. It depends how that O-line would hold up. I guess the one thing is you want to start Jacoby Brissett was playing so badly, you couldn't even evaluate anything. You couldn't evaluate the coaching staff. You can't evaluate any of the players because he was just not competitive.
Also, why did Jerron Mayo, everyone knew Drake May outplayed Jacoby Brissett in the preseason.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to avoid some of those really tough defenses that they faced. You know, the Jets defense was supposed to be tough. I think they played the Niners, who was supposed to be tough. But I think he was like, let's throw Brissett to the Wolves for 4 weeks. It turned out that those defenses were more vulnerable. He should have started Drake May week one. That's my point. Like, there was no excuse to not play this guy when he was the better quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. He definitely outplayed Brissett in the preseason. But we were like, well, but Brissett's the veteran. Yeah. And you know, he should take some of the bullets, I guess, like metaphorically, obviously.
Mayo said there's a lot that goes into it, and it really shouldn't be that way. By the way, can we talk about one quarterback? Bo Nix he's not great. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, I was actually just looking at the over-under for the Broncos-Saints game.
Yeah.
37. That's pretty low for an NFL game.
I mean, so I assume, I haven't heard, is it rather? Definitely Olave in concussion protocol. Rashid Shaheed he's questionable. He's been in and out of the lineup.
Believe it or not, the Broncos are a 2-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's, believe it or not, who's on the Saints?
I'm just saying.
Spencer Rattler's thrown to Bub Means.
I get it, but they always say New Orleans is like the toughest, one of the toughest places to play. I know Sean Payton obviously knows that place well, but.
Ooh, I don't know. They are just so decimated right now. Remember 2 weeks ago, they were number one in the power rankings? Or 3 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, when they were off to a 2-0 start.
Yeah, if they blew out the Cowboys, I was like, oh, man, Saints are back, baby.
We have got to talk a little college football. One of our absolute favorites is going to join us next. Brian Jones, CBS college football analyst and Texas alum. How strong of a hold does Quinn Ewers actually have on this job? Get to it next. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.